And now it's time for your daily pet talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Monday morning, happy President's Day. And this song is very appropriate because I'm super psyched to have in the studio with me our friends from NAS Whitingfield. We have Jamie Coffey, and she is the public affairs director there, and also Lieutenant Sam Hodges, also known as LT. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks again for having us.
Yeah, I'm so happy to hear all about NAS Whitingfield, and I'm so proud of you both for coming in on a holiday. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
It is absolutely our pleasure. It is our pleasure. We wanted to talk about NAS Whitingfield. We want to talk about training Air Wing 5 today because I have brought with me a man of many hats who's an instructor pilot at Training Air Wing 5. So I can't wait to kind of introduce LT and kind of talk into that. But first, Meg, you mentioned President's Day. So there are several U.S. presidents that have served in the Navy. So,
I know.
Yeah. So it's kind of, I love the tie. So I'm just going to go down some of those presidents that served who were also serving in the Navy, but were U.S. presidents: John F. Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, George Bush. I mean, there are...
I remember George Bush. He was a pilot, yeah?
That's right.
I remember that, yeah. Navy pilot.
So it's kind of interesting, the tie there for President's Day. So.
Okay, well, we're all in. And then, you know, there's Frank Sinatra, so we bring them all together.
Absolutely, yeah. So like I said, we're going to kind of focus on Training Air Wing 5 today and its mission. And we just had a change of command out there as well. So we'll kind of get into all of that. So it's just going to be a day, or I should say a 30-minute slot of Training Air Wing 5 and naval aviation and screaming Navy. So let's jump in. So Sam, good morning. Thank you. Thank you for doing this.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yep. So we'll also get into this too, but you, like I mentioned, you have several hats that you serve at NAS Whitingfield under Training Air Wing 5, the largest training air wing in the Navy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, so let's just jump in. I want everybody to kind of get to know you. Where are you from?
So I'm from, I'd call home is Banner Elk, North Carolina. That's where I've spent most of my life. My roots are definitely from there, with my dad growing up in Mount Airy, North Carolina. So it's that's where I would, that's where I'd call home. But I moved up and down the East Coast growing up, where we moved anywhere from Atlanta, Georgia, all the way up to Vermont for college, where I was there.
Oh, that's great. Oh, what a beautiful place. I'm so jealous. I love that area. So can you give us a little background on your career? Like, how long have you been in the Navy? And then just give us kind of like your background.
So I'm 7 going on 8 years now. And it's went to college in Burlington, Vermont at Champlain College. And then it's like after that, I quickly shifted over to OCS, where I went to a recruiting office and got picked up for aviation contract, and found out just before Thanksgiving that year that I graduated. And then I found myself in December, I was showing up to Newport, Rhode Island for officer candidate school, and was there until April. And then quickly after that, I shifted down to do 3 months of recruiting duty in New York.
Oh,
and it's so they had us do a brief stint there to bide some time before flight school. And then in June, I found myself down here in flight school going through Naval Aviation Schools Command for introductory flight screening and aviation pre-flight indoctrination are the two sections of training we do down there, where we fly Cessnas, 172 or Pipers, two different types of fixed-wing aircraft to get our initial flight time in.
Oh, wow.
You're
doing a lot of everything.
Well, every student goes through that now. They just call it KNIFE. So Naval, Naval and Introductory Flight Evaluation is what it's called now. So they just tie all those programs together. So it's it's training down there at Naval Aviation Schools Command. And then
I should mention too, when we talk about Naval Aviation Schools Command, and we talk about KNIFE and that indoctrinate, like when that beginning training happens. That happens at NES Pensacola. So that, and then they transition to Training Air Wing 5, right? Right.
Yeah. So Training Wing 5 is one of the two options for primary. So primary flight training. So you could either do Corpus Christi or here in Whiting Field. It's going to be Training Air Wing 5 at NES Whiting Field. And that's where I went through at VT-3 and did my primary flight training as well in the T-6B Texan 2.
Okay.
So we did all that fixed wing training, and then I wrapped that up, and that was probably a little less than a year of training that I had to do before I went on to Helicopter Training Squadron 8, where I got my wings, and that's where advanced rotary training happens at Whiting Field. So I spent just about 2 years at Whiting Field as a student.
Okay. Okay. I know this kind of wasn't in the plan, but I'm just super curious because you're a helo pilot. You're a helicopter pilot.
Correct.
Was that the ultimate goal to fly helicopters?
Yeah. So I wanted to fly helicopters going through. Found out at OCS that it's like that's the majority of pilots in the Navy. And I'm like, well, that sounds great. It's like, that's perfect.
It's super fun.
Yeah, I ended up wanting to go through. I have a degree in criminal justice, so I have a law enforcement background is what I was going for. And then I also did my internship my senior year as an EMT. So I worked through the NREMT qualification program, and that way I was working in basically emergency medicine. So those two tied together work great with helicopters.
Absolutely. Now, okay, after training, what happened to you after you winged?
So shifted up to Norfolk, and it's like did the deployment cycle. So I worked through the FRS at Helmineron 12, so that's helicopter mine countermeasures, and flying MH-53 Echoes, and went through the FRS there on the seawall in Norfolk.
And, you know, we have to, like, create a visual for everybody out there of what that aircraft looks like. The 53 Echo is kind of like a bad-to-the-bone helicopter, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's mostly known for being in the Marine Corps. A lot of Marine Corps aircraft as far as the CH-53 Echoes and now Kilos that they're developing and obtaining. But we're also now having, with the Navy side of it, we use it for mine countermeasures. It's 79-foot rotor arc, 100 feet long, and it's close to 30 feet tall.
Whoa.
Weaponized, right?
Yeah. So crew-served weapons, it's mostly done for, think more of that we pull equipment behind it like a water skier.
Okay.
And it's like they have sensors arrays and different things that create signatures to actuate so we neutralize or find, detect mines underwater with it.
We can do so many things with helicopters.
If you just joined us, you're listening to Pensacola's Expert Panel with Meg, and we're talking about NAS Whiting Field this morning with Lieutenant Sam Hodges and Jamie Coffey, Training Wing 5. If you've got some questions or want to ask something or have a comment, just text it in at 850-437-1620.
That is a great, this is a great opportunity with you here to kind of talk rotary training, and talk about helicopters. We're winging helicopter pilots like every 2 weeks out at NAS Whiting
Are you
Field,
really?
In Milton, Florida. So a lot of people, you know, we talk about the home of the Blue Angels here in Pensacola, and NAS Pensacola does some awesome stuff. They've got Blue Angels. They are training as well, so they've got trainers. They're also creating navigators. So that's something that we don't do. We are actually in Milton, Florida, out at NAS Whiting Field under Training Air Wing 5. We're actually creating the pilot. But NAS Pensacola's got Schools Command there, which Lieutenant mentioned, and navigators, and just the military footprint here is amazing.
Yeah, so they have naval flight officer training down there, and they go through the majority of their flight training there as far as what primary goes, flying T-6s, and that's where they then shift over, and I think they even have some T-45s down there as well, so the jet trainers that they do there for the NFOs.
It's incredible, and we talk about this is really cool to talk about the 53 Echo with you. We kind of focused on that student population, the officers that are students and learning, and the navigators and the Blue Angels. But the helicopter side of the house is really cool. And we have all these instructor pilots that have already been out in the community serving under the Navy or the Marine Corps doing bad to the bone stuff. I don't want to say a bad word on the radio, but bad to the bone stuff. And then they're coming back and teaching students and getting them ready for the fight as well. I mean, this is big national defense stuff right here in Northwest Florida.
Oh, yeah. We see him flying out on the beach a lot. So yeah. We see him coming over and it's like, ooh, I'm glad they're on our side.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. And the other part that's like not always known is that it's like, yes, it's a Navy base. And it's like, but the other part is that Marine Corps piece as well. So it's not only do we have Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard students, but we also have Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guard instructors.
Yeah. Mm,
okay. So along with that is that we also work with the allied nations and we have foreign pilots that are going to be students both and instructors that'll come and fly with us as well.
That's right. A lot of people don't understand that.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you'll see Italian students, Saudi, French. Yeah, I think French. We've got some France. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just we've got a little bit of everybody from NATO. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's an awesome opportunity because that's where it's like we go off into the fleet and fly with mostly our own branch. And it's like the Navy Marine Corps definitely gets to cross paths much more than the Coast Guard with us because they're still locally here to the continental U.S. for the most part. But it's like we do end up working with the other branches when we come back to the flight training here, which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. What a cool big picture. Just I always find this stuff fascinating, and it's really cool. The community talks about how, you know, they're honored to support the military here. And this is why.
This is it right here.
Why.
Oh, yeah.
This is it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So after the 53 Echo, what happened? Where did you end up back here?
So, yep, I came back here as an instructor pilot, and that was the main thing that I wanted to do. I wanted the opportunity to come and teach the next generation and teach students. So I ended up coming back here as an instructor. It's the first pick of the long list they give us to choose from. And Whiting Field was high on the list too, because
that's where
it's like the location, Pensacola, and being close to that. And it's like not far from the beaches and everything else. So the opportunity to come back to, and it's like then found out that I was going to Helicopter Training Squadron 28 and I was going to be an instructor pilot. And we come back and go
HT 28.
Oh yeah. And we go through a short syllabus essentially to get us refreshed and then also to train us specifically on how to train.
Right.
It's like you got to learn how to teach.
Yeah. So. And I was just going to mention that or ask you about that and the primary responsibilities of the instructor pilot, because you're not just meeting a student on the flight line and then just getting in the air and kind of going from there, right?
No. It's like the main thing that we target is the flight hours. So it's like you need a certain number of flight hours a month is what you want to hope for, strive for. And sometimes the weather, it's like gets a vote in that down here as we have storms that roll through. And sometimes we get a little bit of snow from time to time, it looks like now too.
Just every 100 years or so.
So yeah, the weather gets a vote in it. But yeah, we strive for a similar flight hours, but there's so much time that also goes into the briefing and pre-flighting and post-flighting and paperwork and everything else that we add that doesn't even account for those hours really where...
Right. So. Would you say if, now, and we'll get into, you have many responsibilities and you have collateral duties, as the Navy likes to call it, collateral duties, and one of them is PAO and public affairs. But for an average instructor pilot, how much are they in the air?
So the thing we strive for is probably about 40 hours as an instructor is the minimum.
They're busy.
Instructor
pilots
are. Yeah.
So 40 hours a month is what we're looking for, which equates to a lot more as far as the weekly goal of 10 ends up being that you just take that and probably quadruple it. And that's the amount of time that we actually spend briefing and prepping and at work.
Right.
Just for that role.
I just think about that sacrifice that they're making. They're, you know, oh, it's shore duty. You know, a lot of people talk about, well, it's shore duty. They're not on a ship. They're not in the ocean. So, you know, they can lay back a little bit. No, our sailors, our officers, they are busy. And a lot of them at the juncture of instructor pilot, they're getting married. They're starting to have kids. So we have spouses in the mix. And they're trying to balance between the family life and, you know, managing stress and all those things, but also being phenomenal instructor pilots and being a good on-wing or a good mentor to those students as well.
Oh, yeah. And that's
a lot of balance.
Yeah. But there's a lot of pride we take in it. And there's a lot of joy you get out of it as well. So that's part of the motivation, too, is coming in every day, is that it's like, you know, you're achieving something and you're also helping these students grow and develop as well.
Right. Oh, yeah. So. I was just going to ask you, like, that's got to be the coolest part. What is it like to be in the air? Like, what is it like when you're doing a formation flight and the two of you have taken off?
So I think that having the students, like you get to also see with some of these students that it's like they're motivated and excited by it. And it's something that you've almost become numb to at some point.
Oh, yeah,
because
sure.
Because you do it for so long is that it's like it's almost a certain amount of it becomes mundane.
Routine to you, routine. But not to the guy that's in there for the first time.
Yeah. Right. And there's a certain number of times, too, as the instructor, though, we have these moments of clarity where you realize that it's like, oh, this is a really gorgeous sunset. Or it's, you know, where it like hits you that it's like that you're doing something really cool or you're getting a great opportunity. And it's like, but there's a number of hours that you're in the aircraft or doing something and you really just don't think of, you know, that I could be doing something different as a job. I could be sitting behind a desk. I could be sitting in a cubicle, you know, and it's like filing paperwork or working on Excel spreadsheets.
Yep.
And there's a certain amount of that that we do in our collateral jobs or our ground jobs, as we like to call them.
Yeah.
But it's like the amount of time we get to be in the air, in the aircraft, is a lot of fun. It's a great experience.
Yeah. You mentioned sunsets, and that's something that for the folks at home, that maybe we should mention that you think of that they're up in the air and they're flying, and we have 12 outlying landing fields. So we've got landing fields that spread through Alabama and Florida. I mean, it's a big airspace for us and what we have to control. But we're also, they're not just in the air doing sorties where they come up and down in the local area. You guys are flying out and doing, I want to say it's called cross countries. What is that?
Yeah, so we do a lot of cross-country flights because the students here, is that it's like driving in your local town. You can get used to driving in your local town and then not really need to use navigational equipment the same way. Or it's like you get used to it and you have these, you know, a roadmap in your mind.
Right.
But it's more so that we'll do, usually a student in the rotary syllabus will get two of them. And one of them will be for visual navigation. The other one will be an instrument navigation cross-country. And it's like, okay, we might take time to take them up to, you know, whether it's Savannah or Charleston or out to New Orleans or something that just gets them a little further away from home.
Right.
So they go to some of these airfields that aren't military focused and to get them into a different airspace.
That's incredible.
Okay, you're listening to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and we have Lieutenant Sam Hodges here and Jamie Coffey from NAS Whiting Field. And we do have a question for you. I think someone's looking to hire you, possibly. This question says, has the lieutenant kept his EMT license active? And does he plan to do life flight flying when he retires from the military?
Ooh.
This sounds like a future job, Lieutenant.
That's right.
So I've thought of getting back into it. I definitely, it's lapsed at this point, is that it's like, that's one hat that I did take off when I finished up. And it's like, I got into the Navy between OCS and being totally committed to that training program and then coming through flight school. It was something I couldn't maintain.
I gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So. But you could do radio with that voice.
Oh
I can.
Doesn't he have the best radio voice?
He does.
Oh, my
he
goodness.
Does, Meg.
If you've got a question for the lieutenant or for Jamie Coffey, just text it in, 850-437-1620.
Okay. So let's actually kind of dive into that a little bit when we talk about after the service and after you serve. And that was a really great question.
It sounded like somebody looking for someone to me, but I don't, I'm just saying.
But we have leaders that actually serve under training Air Wing 5 and at NAS Whiting Field, instructor pilots and beyond, that are at the time, they're kind of towards the end of the career. And we have a bunch of folks, I would say, that retire here and make this their home because Santa Rosa County and Escambia County is awesome. Northwest Florida, this is just such a great place to live. Do you want to talk a little bit about them going to the airlines? I hear that this is something that happens after they retire.
So yeah, some instructors are definitely pushing to have that as an option to try to move to the airlines. And it's like, it's been a common trend. Less of it, I would say, on the rotary side. Only because the fact that it's like with the focus being on rotary hours is that there's other options that rotary pilots look for in that.
Right.
And it's that having the fixed wing or especially like fixed wing multi-engine hours is something that it's like a lot of like the P8 instructors and things of that nature that have those hours would focus on. For me, my goal at this point, though, is that it's like staying in the Navy as long as they have me flying.
Oh, that's awesome.
There you go.
And that's the focus I have is that it's like if I find myself at some point behind a desk for a long period of time and not able to fly, then I would look at getting out.
Yeah.
But so far, it's like I've only gained more and more hours, especially coming down here as an instructor. I'm flying more than I ever did before. Yeah.
Which Absolutely. Is great.
Which is awesome. It's a great opportunity. So
We've had former operations officers, our OPSOs have retired, and you just never know who's in when you're getting on that flight to Delta or American Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
You just never know, but there could be a former Navy pilot, instructor pilot, former commander, operating that aircraft that have had 20 and 30 years of flying in the military. And here they are now, you know, because, you know, they don't want to give up flying. What an awesome job.
Right.
Yeah.
And they
have the skills, and we need them.
Yeah.
We need them.
Yeah. It's like they might retire from the military, but they don't retire from flying.
Right. Exactly.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about what else you do. So you don't just do instructor pilot duty.
Yeah. So all of us that are instructors have what we call a ground job or collateral duties, essentially. And it's like, for mine, it's the public affairs officer at Training Wing 5.
Okay.
Is what I've been assigned. And these rotate every 6 months to a year. So they have us kind of get a swath of experience, mm-hmm. is what I would call it, as far as it goes. And it's depends on whether it's like you're an admin. So you're an admin worker as far as, you know, processing awards and processing people in and out of the squadron. You could be in the ops department and you're writing the flight schedule every day. And there's a number of people that we have doing that. And it's like with all the flights that we have scheduled at Whiting Field, there's probably, you know, at least 24 ops employees that work on that every day to make sure it goes well. And they work pretty closely with the civilian counterparts as well to create that continuity.
Yeah. And you do everything from, you know, special duties to events to ceremonies, you know, and speaking of ceremonies, we just had, and this was one of yours, a very big change of command in the Training Air Wing 5. So just last week, was that on Friday or
that
Thursday?
That was Thursday.
Thursday. So just on Thursday, we had we call them Commodores on the Training Air Wing 5 side. So we don't say CO or Skipper normally on the Training Air Wing 5 side. We say Commodore and Deputy Commodore. So the Commodore was relieved. That was Fez. That's Colonel Crockle. So I'll mention Fez is his call sign because all the aviators have call signs. And Fez was relieved, Colonel Crockle, and he also retired. So what a great ceremony that was. And he was relieved for the new Commodore. It was the Deputy Commodore because they fleet up. They start at the Deputy Commodore, and then they fleet up after a year and a half? Or
usually about 18 months.
So the new Commodore is Captain Kenneth Kerr, and his call sign is Opie. I wonder if
there's got to be a story to that.
Yeah,
I love the stories.
Strawberry blonde hair, and he has a liking, I think, to the character for sure.
That's got to be it.
Oh my gosh, he's such a wonderful captain, such a wonderful leader, and we're very excited to have him take the helm for Training Air Wing 5. And then the new deputy is Colonel Andrew Kellner, and then Rear Admiral Richard Brophy. So Admiral Brophy was the guest speaker for the event. Is he still Sinatra?
He is still Sinatra, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, so we played the right song then.
That's right. Absolutely. We have to pull that whole tie in because that was just so awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we've only got just a couple minutes left. So anything you want to touch on before we go?
Can you talk about just a highlight? Is there anything from, you know, before we go that you want to talk about from your career that's been a highlight that's you want to share?
So I think the highlight I would say so far is that it's like, as far as coming full circle, where we get to the fleet and we make aircraft commander and we start flying, and that's the first moment where it shifts from you being the junior person in the aircraft to being the senior person in the aircraft. And that is something that then you start instructing really at that moment, where it's that, okay, now the co-pilot that you're flying with is going to be junior to you. And you have a closer balance on hours, where it's like you might have 500 hours and they have, you know, 300-400 hours is what it's looking at there. But as you come back down and you're an instructor here, that's where that separates more, where you're in the closer to 1,000 hours. And they're usually sitting at a few hundred hours, like 200. It definitely makes a huge difference on. And the highlight I would say is just seeing other pilots grow and develop. Is that it's like as they get better and better, and you can see that they've, you know, gained a lot of experience and they've learned from their lessons in the aircraft, that it really makes a difference because that's going to carry on and they're going to be, you know, in the shoes you were just in not long ago.
That's right. Thank you for everything that you do, and thank you for coming out and talking Naval Aviation.
I'm happy to appreciate it.
Okay, so I'll end with a couple of numbers, total numbers for Training Air Wing 5. So again, largest air wing in Naval Air Training Command. Over 300 aircraft and over 300 Navy, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, Air Force, and international instructor pilots assigned. Over 160,000 flight hours annually is conducting that mission of training with over 1,300 fixed wing and rotary aviators in the U.S. Armed Services and partner countries.
Wow. Thank you for your service. Thank you, Lieutenant, for coming in. Thank you, Jamie, for being here. We appreciate you both so much for coming on the Pensacola Expert Panel this morning.